What do we have to say? What does the Bible have to say about wisdom? And how is it that we walk in wisdom? In the context of our Kings series, we have a tall man, a short man, and a wise man. Tall man Saul, a man not without his own confusion and his own difficulties. A man named David. David is a man after God's own heart. And his son Solomon, a wise man. Think about it for a minute, just on the subject of wisdom. Who is it in your life? Is there anyone in your life when you would say, you know, people sort of describe him, and I would describe him or her also as a wise person. Do you have that go-to wise person in your life? Another question. When's the last time someone said of you, well, you know what, you're just kind of wise. Not like wise guy, like wise with wisdom. What young person in here could say, you know what, every now and again someone says to me, you know, you have wisdom beyond your years. That's what you want to hear. Wisdom beyond your years. What is this about wisdom and how wisdom is useful in the world in which we live today? This is the question on the table for this morning. So first of all, what exactly is wisdom? Well, as it came up in the men's group the other night, wisdom is the second part of that word, dom, D-O-M, dominion, rule, kingdom, like kingdom, domain, a wise domain, a wise rule, a wise reign, a wise king, a kingdom. What wisdom? It's a wise, discerning, prudent domain. Do you have such a domain in your life? Is your life a domain of discernment and prudence and wise decision-making? Or is it fleeting, reactive, and emotional-based? Wisdom. Now, here's the thing about Christianity that I find interesting. Many parts of Christianity are accentuated in people's life where, you know, it's about getting saved and having eternal life. Well, of course. Of course. It is about ministry to other people. It is about the Spirit of God. It's about a lot of things. But it's also about having wisdom in your life. Utilizing wisdom to make decisions about your business. Christianity, when you walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. That's the absence of confusion. There ought to be prosperity in our life. Yes, prosperity. Good decision-making, good business decisions, good college decisions, good study decisions, good self-discipline. We ought to be the head and not the tail. We ought to have wisdom in our life. Wisdom that rules and reigns over our own flesh at times. Wisdom that knows the choices to make to lead to prosperity and favor and influence and leadership. This is a key thing, wisdom. What exactly is wisdom? Proverbs 4:7 says, wisdom is the principal thing. It's not secondary. It's not fourth or fifth on the list. It's a principal thing. It is a high-ranking thing. Wisdom ought to be a high priority in our life. If we're not accustomed to understanding wisdom, the acquisition of wisdom, the retention of wisdom, or how you could get rid of wisdom in your life, which can happen, then we have a problem. We need to make it a principal thing. Wisdom is a principal thing. How much debt should we not have? How much business should we have because of wise decisions? When you declare a major, you choose a school, you look at your relationships in life, wisdom is of paramount principal importance. It says, wisdom is a principal thing, therefore get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. Here, wisdom is the opposite of confusion. It is the presence of understanding, the presence of discernment, the presence of prudence. It's a principal thing. Wisdom is the difference between success and failure in life. Joy, contentment, and sorrow, freedom and bondage. It's the difference between whole and broken, prosperity and poverty. Wisdom is crucial to dictating the quality of our lives, the quality of our relationships, the quality of our decisions. Yes, wisdom is a principal thing. I fear wisdom has been knocked down into oblivion on the priority list of things in the world today. And I see more and more, do you not, more and more nonsense and foolishness and foolhardiness and just plain stupid fools? I see them all the time. Idiots, morons, yes, who act the fool. They abound. Foolishness abounds in life. The Christian who's following Christ ought to have some sense of wholeness, surety, confidence. They have a wise domain. They're not easily influenced by exterior factors, exterior feelings, manipulation. They see through falsehoods and deception. That's wisdom. Wisdom is the difference between prosperity and poverty, freedom and bondage. How many stupid mistakes can a person make and repeat over and over before they actually learn? Wisdom can spare us a great deal of travail. 1 Kings 3 and 9 further describes what wisdom is. Speaking to Solomon, "So give your servant a discerning heart and govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong, for who is able to govern this great people of yours?" Solomon asking God for wisdom. God says, "I'll give you anything you want. What do you want? If you had any wish from God, what would you ask for?" Solomon asked for wisdom. God loved that. That was music to his ears. You asked for wisdom. Wisdom to govern the people. Wisdom to discern between right and wrong. If ever in my lifetime, and perhaps yours as well, right is wrong and wrong is right, or someone to know the difference between the two, it's now, right here, now, 2016. People have a difficulty understanding between right and wrong. And in a postmodern moral relativistic world, your right is your right, my wrong is my right, my wrong, and nobody really knows what's going on. But everyone make it up as you go, because there's no standard. Wisdom says there is a standard. Proverbs 1, 1 through 7 speaks of the purpose of wisdom. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, "To know wisdom is instruction." You know, a wise man is open to instruction. If nobody can tell you anything, you're acting like a fool. Wise man's open to instruction. "To perceive the words of understanding." To perceive the words of understanding. Perception. I got a pair of sunglasses here. I'm going to put them on to make a point. When you get up in the morning and you go live your life, the question is, through what lens are you seeing your life? What lens? Like, do I look through God's eyes? Do I filter the world through the Bible? Do I see the world through what I want the world to look like or what I want the world to be? Do I discern people's manipulation and harm they mean to me through a discerning heart? Am I seeing the world through the Spirit of God or my own flesh? How do you see the world? And if we're not actively pursuing, asking for with faith, wisdom, we're seeing the world through varying perspectives. And when we see that the world through varying perspectives, we make varying decisions, some of which are quality and others of which are not. We actually need to see the world through a wise dominion of the kingdom of God. You want to see politics through the right lens. You want to see teaching through the right lens. You want to hear every sermon through the right lens. You want to evaluate. You want to decipher. You want to count what is good and discard what is not. I hope you do that. When you come here on Sunday, you best listen and discern what is of the Lord and what is not. That's crucial. How do you see the world? How do you perceive the world? To perceive the words of understanding. To receive the instruction of wisdom. All of these proverbs are for perceiving and receiving. If you're not familiar with the proverbs, you may have trouble perceiving and receiving wisdom. This is not cool. Justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple. In other words, you don't have to be the sharpest tack in the drawer. You can be a simple-minded person and still receive wisdom. Isn't that good news? It is for me. I'm not the sharpest tack in the drawer. But every now and again, God can give me wisdom. A wise man will hear and increase learning. A man of understanding will attain wise counsel. To understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. In other words, we're not perplexed. We're not astounded. We're not blown off kilter with wisdom. With wisdom, we can handle things. We can decipher them. We can live with poise. If you don't live with poise and you freak out every 10 minutes when something goes wrong, what about that witness? That's not a good witness. We need to be people with poise and calm. Drawing not attention to ourselves, but discerning situations. This is the principle of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. You know, when I went off to college, I was lacking in a few things. And I saw the world differently than I should have. But what I sought to do is go off and go to school and graduate, and I saw myself getting a career of some kind. I didn't know what it would be. I thought I was going to be a physical therapist. Then I realized you had to take chemistry. That was not wisdom. I wasn't even a praying man. I needed prayer to get through chemistry with a C minus. That was so difficult for me. But I wanted to go off and be prosperous. I wanted to make money. I wanted to help people. But I had no wisdom. I didn't. I had no discernment whatsoever. I mean, if I was in college today or I was going off to start my life over, one of the principal things I would put at the top of my list besides faith is wisdom. I got to make some sound decisions. I made so many bad decisions, it took me years to undo the bad decisions. I spent my 20s undoing bad decisions, a whole decade of cleaning up a mess, kind of like paying off the national debt. It's crazy. All right, so how do we get this wisdom? How do we get this understanding? Well, the first thing I'd say is listen to our father and mother and anyone else who fears the Lord. Solomon got a spiritual download. Solomon got a thumb drive stuck in his rib, and all the wisdom of the world just came right into him. I get that. Supernatural wisdom, God gave it to him. But Solomon already had a baseline of wisdom from his father, David. David's mistakes, David's sins, David's accomplishments, David's witness. There was a witness of wisdom available to Solomon before God ever infused him with wisdom. Now, it begs this question. Do you have that kind of person in your life to where you're perplexed or you could just pick up the phone and have that father figure, have that mother figure? Would you help me sort something out here? That's crucial. That's fusion. We ought to fuse with people who are wise. Do you have that person, number one? Number two, how else do you get wisdom? Well, this is really difficult. You don't have to be wise to figure this out. You ask for it. You ask for it. This is interesting. All right, I'm going to read a little bit of this passage. Solomon, at Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream. Solomon's having a dream. This is 1 Kings 3, 5 to 15. And God said, ask for whatever you want, and I'll give it to you. And Solomon answered, you've shown great kindness to your servant, my father David, because he was faithful to you and righteous and upright in heart. You have continued this great kindness to him and given him a son to sit in his throne this very day. Now, Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David, but I am only a little child. I'll tell you what, you want to have wisdom? Be childlike. Not childish, childlike. Childlike people are receptacles of wisdom out of the mouth of a child. Be childlike. One of the hallmarks of humility is teachability. If you want wisdom in your life, you must come to God like a child. Not in a demeaning way, actually, in an appropriate way, and do not know how to carry my duties. Your servant is here among the people you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to count or number. In other words, you've given me rule over all of these people. I can't even count them all. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours? The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this. So God said to him, since you have asked for this and a long life or wealth for yourself, nor have asked the death of your enemies, but for discernment and administering justice, I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart, so that there will never be anyone like you, nor will there ever be. Moreover, I will give you whatever you have not asked for, both wealth and honor, so that in your lifetime you will have no equal among kings. And if, listen to this, if you walk in obedience to me and keep my decrees and commands as David your father did, I will give you a long life. Then Solomon awoke and he realized it had been a dream. He returned to Jerusalem, stood before the Ark of the Lord's Covenant, and sacrificed burnt offerings and fellowship offerings. Then he gave a feast for all in his court. Interesting. If your prayer life and my prayer life are focused on God getting us out of squivets that we created, we do him a lot better good if we just ask for wisdom not to get in the problems we keep asking him to solve. How many of your problems exist, and my problems exist, because of an absence of wisdom? We cannot spend our time, we cannot kill our time, we have to invest our time. Have you noticed, you get one shot at this thing here. This is it. You get one run at this. So we need to maximize each and every day we get up in the morning. This is our one shot to live today. We don't even know if it's the last one. So why create problems in our life we have to get counsel on and get other people involved in? Why stymie the whole system with making stupid decisions when we could just have wisdom and alleviate that and be the head and not the tail? To be the witness and the ambassador, the representative, the walking consulate that God wants us to be. For the absence of wisdom, we end up chasing our life around, putting out fires, when in reality we could be knocking down the gates of hell. Wisdom. James 1, 5 through 8 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, ask with faith. You got to believe, and you got to ask for wisdom. Be childlike, be humble. Ask for wisdom that leads to prosperity and wealth and influence and leadership and love and admiration and righteousness and discernment. And ask with faith. Here's something for you to think about. We live in light of wisdom's availability. Wisdom is available to us 24/7, 365, and even this year, 366. I know we call them proverbs. I don't call them proverbs anymore. I call them proverbs. Why? Pro means for. I'm for something. Pro means I'm in favor of something. Verb means action. I'm in favor of action. A wise person doesn't just talk about stuff. They do stuff. They make decisions. They trust God in the decisions. They take action. Are you pro-action? Faith without works is dead. Let's be pro-action in asking for wisdom, studying wisdom literature, as Solomon obviously did when he wrote it, and let's make good discerning decisions that don't disrupt the course of our life. Proverbs. Walk in the Spirit. What does that mean? Oh, it's so out there. It's so intangible. What does it mean? But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. The life of wisdom is life in the Spirit. I grieve over this. I grieve over this, and I have to constantly think about the timing by which I teach on the Holy Spirit. The Lord checks me and holds me back all the time on this. But it's a source of frustration and anxiety, but at the same time, you have to be patient. When it comes to the Spirit of the living God, I have to say this morning. We have to be balanced, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, look at the denominations of the world, like Baskin-Robbins. Some accentuate salvation, and rightly so. It's all about getting saved, and then after you get saved, you just get more people to get saved. Perfect. I love it. But where's the Spirit? Others look at the Spirit, and they say it's all about the Spirit, Holy Spirit. It's all about the encounter. It's all about the being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's all about speaking in tongues. It's all about this. It's all about that. But what about Jesus? The wise man, the wise woman approaches God with balance and say, any and everything in that book I am open to. I come to you like a child. Give me the wisdom I need to experience what you would have me to experience of you. We fail sometimes to realize that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit coexist and are co-equal. Co-equal. And we need the fullness of the Spirit as we do the salvation of the Son. And this is of paramount importance. It's difficult to live a life of wisdom apart from the Spirit who teaches us all things. We can't teach others things without having been taught by the Spirit. If we do, we're in the flesh. We don't bear fruit that will last. We might not even bear fruit. We have to walk in the Spirit. If you're acquiring wisdom, asking for wisdom, it's inherent to that request. that you're open to the teaching of the Holy Spirit. You're open to the person of the Holy Spirit. You're open to being filled with the Holy Spirit. You're open to the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Wisdom does not happen apart from the Spirit. You can say, well, I have a wisdom because I've lived 80 years, 70 years. I have gray hair and I have wisdom. That's not the wisdom I'm talking about. You've been around the block a few times. It's not exactly the wisdom I'm talking about. You learned by trial and error. You made mistakes. That's one thing. I'm talking about the wisdom of the Spirit of the living God. This is a totally different ballgame. This is a wisdom that's available to a 14-year-old as much as it is an 84-year-old. Wisdom. It has to be approached with balance. You have to walk in the Spirit. How else do you acquire this wisdom? We have to interact with the wisdom literature consistently. I know many of you heard this. One proverb a day for 31 days. Great approach. We have to interface with wisdom literature always. I mean, we have to be consistent. There ought to be situations that come up in life, predicaments, decisions to be made, quandaries, riddles, things we get into. And you know what ought to come to our mind? Not what do I do now? It ought to be one of the Proverbs. As a dog returns to his vomit, so a fool repeats his folly. Why am I turning in bed like a door on a hinge? We need these wisdom literature, Ecclesiastes, Psalm 1. Don't sit in the seat of mockers. Show me your friends, I'll show you your future. We have got to take this wisdom literature, Psalm 119, 105, thy word is a lamp unto our feet and light unto our path. The practical application, the verb part of Proverbs, has to be as we interface with wisdom literature, Song of Songs, and the New Testament. How does wisdom affect our daily lives? Well, I quote this verse all the time because it means so much to me, because I think, you know, if you're going to live in a small community, and this is why I quote this all the time, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all of your increase. And then your barns will be filled overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. People ought to see the people of God as people who are successful, victorious. I'm not saying the balance in your checking account has to be X amount of money. I'm saying what you do is efficient, good stewardship. You model good decisions, and you acquire wealth. There's nothing wrong with that. But it also says you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. To trust in the Lord with all your heart, to lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Wisdom literature. Deuteronomy 28:13 says, the Lord will make you the head, not the tail. I get concerned. I'm being frank with you. I get concerned that something is not exactly right when people have been walking with the Lord a long time, and they're dealing with issues that should have been long resolved many years earlier for a lack of good decisions. I get concerned about that. That's the absence of wisdom. We should be the head and not the tail. We shouldn't always be the tail. You can be the tail every now and again. You shouldn't be the tail more than the head. We ought to be influencers, leaders, examples, exemplary people. This is something to think about. Wisdom. Once acquired, can wisdom be lost? Absolutely, yes. Absolutely. We're in Israel a few months back, and we're in David's palace, the ruins of David's palace, and through the valley there, up on the hill, they showed us where Solomon's Solomon's wives used to live. Now, one wife is more than I can handle. I can't handle one wife, and it's not her fault, it's mine. But hundreds? I have a feeling the guy lost his wisdom. Hundreds of wives? This is unbelievable. How did the wisest man in the world go from being the wisest man in the world to being dumb as a brick? 1 Kings 11:1-13. King Solomon, however, loved many foreign women besides Pharaoh's daughter. Oh, we can list the groups here if you want. Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonites, and Hittites. He's got them all covered. They were from nations about which the Lord had told the Israelites, you must not intermarry with them. He's got one of them, you know, hundreds of them. Because they were surely, turn your hearts after their gods. Solomon, I know you're the wisest man on the earth. Don't marry any of people from these things. With all that wisdom you have, that shouldn't be too much of an issue. It's not that complicated. No, no, he's going to marry hundreds of them, and they worship other gods. Direct opposition. Nevertheless, Solomon had held fast to them in love. He had 700 wives of royal birth and 300 concubines. Last time I checked, and this is not core math, that's 1,000. 1,000 women, and his wives led him astray. Really? That's shocking. As Solomon grew old, his wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not fully devoted to the Lord his God as the heart of David his father had been. He followed Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonites, and Molech, the detestable god of the Ammonites. Molech was a god you would sacrifice your own living child to in his arms. This is the wisest man in the world. So Solomon did evil in the eyes of the Lord, but he did not follow the Lord completely, as David his father had done. On a hill east of Jerusalem, Solomon built a high place, Chemosh, the detestable god of Moab, and for Molech, the detestable god of the Ammonites. Oh, so conflicted. He did the same for his foreign wives who burned incense and offered sacrifices to their God. The Lord became angry with Solomon because his heart had turned away from the Lord, the God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice. Although he had forbidden Solomon to follow other gods, Solomon did not keep the Lord's command. So the Lord said to Solomon, since this is your attitude and you've not kept my covenant and my decrees, which I have commanded you, I will most certainly tear the kingdom away from you and give it to one of your subordinates. Confusion. Nevertheless, for the sake of David, your father, I will not do it during your lifetime. I will tear it out of the hand of your son. Yet I will not tear the whole kingdom from him, but will give him one tribe for the sake of David, my servant, and for the sake of Jerusalem, which I have chosen. Civil strife, division. This wisdom of the ages that is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore, and that is eternal, can be received when asked for by faith as like a child. But this very same wisdom can leave us immediately as we become self-sufficient, God-denying, as we put our interest above the interest of God. Yeah, download the thumbnail of wisdom to a man who's also capable of denying the very wisdom you gave him. And this is why I say to you, just because a man is old does not mean he is wise. It can mean that he's lost that wisdom. Just because a boy is young does not mean he cannot have wisdom, especially if he hasn't had the opportunity to reject it. And this is why an intergenerational ministry focuses on the importance of wisdom for young people and old people alike. Why do we associate wisdom with white hair? It goes back to the mitre of the high priest, who stuck out among all the badger skins and the darkness and the gloom of the desert. That one man walking around with a white hat on, like the Pope, was a sign of seasoned, aged wisdom. And he stood out before anyone else. And the British got a hold of that. They made white wigs to put on all their barristers and attorneys. And then when we got over here, we did the same thing when we started our country. But I'll tell you this, white hair does not necessarily mean wisdom. We can lose it as quick as we acquire it, and we need to be understanding of that. And it goes for a personal basis, and it goes for a national basis. Where has wisdom gone? How many hundreds of millions of dollars have we gotten further into debt since I started this message? The absence of wisdom. The robbing of our future, the lack of common sense. Where is wisdom most needed in your life? Why the handout? Be wise. Take it home. Read the passages. Look at the Proverbs. Interface with wisdom literature. And spare yourself the trial and the tribulation of poor decision making. And walk in the fullness of the Spirit.